30 and 31 as we continue this chapter together. By faith, there's our key word. It's been the key word all this chapter. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for faith. Faith that saves us, faith that transforms us, faith that enables us to walk with you. Faith, Lord, that is bold and courageous and takes action. Because, Lord, we've been learning that faith not only is being confident in what we cannot see and assured of what we hope for, but faith is also active. Faith transforms us and makes a difference in our life and the way that we live. We thank you, Lord, for those who have gone before us, who have lived out the faith not only in the scriptures, but we think, Lord, of our family. We think of, as we just have been reflecting on 20 years, we think of those who have gone before us, even within our church, who have been a model and demonstration of faith to us, for us to follow and to learn from. So, Lord, as we open your word again this morning, we just ask that through your word you would speak to us, encourage us and instruct us on how we can be faith, men and women of faith in our day, being bold, courageous, and strong for you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. George Mueller was a man of faith. He lived in 1805. He was born and he died in 1898. But I don't know how much you know about him. But after being a wild youth growing up, he was saved in his early 20s. He obeyed God's call by living a life of faith and obedience. And he lived in a manner that the world could not understand, because he and his wife felt led to sell all of their earthly possessions, and they founded an orphanage. But as they founded the orphanage, they decided they were going to live by faith alone, and they made their needs and those of the orphans known only to God in prayer. They would never tell anybody or ask for money. They trusted that God would supply all that they needed, and they lived solely on faith. They often faced insurmountable problems that were overcome by faith in God's power alone. There's several stories I could tell you about him, but I want to focus on one. In 1877... George Mueller was on board a ship that was stalled off the coast of Newfoundland. It was stalled in dense fog. The captain had been on the bridge for 24 hours by this point when George Mueller came to see him. And Mueller told him that he had to be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon. And the captain replied, "Well, that is simply impossible. It can't be done in this fog. There's no way." "Very well," said Mueller. "If your ship cannot take me, then God will find some other way, because I've never broken an engagement in 52 years, he said. So he said, "Let's go down to the chart room and let's pray." The captain wondered what lunatic asylum Mueller came from, and they said, "This is crazy." "Mr. Mueller," he said, "do you know how dense this fog is?" He said, "There's no way." But Mr. George Mueller said, "No, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls my every circumstance of my life." So Mueller knelt down and he prayed simply. And he prayed, and when he finished, the captain was about to pray. But George Mueller put his hand on his shoulder and he told him not to. And he said this, he said, "First, you do not believe that God will answer your prayer. And secondly, I believe he already has. So there is no need whatsoever for you to pray about it." That's faith, isn't it? So the captain looked at Mueller in astonishment for making such a statement. "Captain," he continued, he said, I have known my Lord for 52 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to get an audience with the king. Get up, captain, open the door, and you will find that the fog is gone. The captain walked across the door, opened it, and guess what? The fog had lifted. That, my friends, is the power of faith. Faith to believe that God can do great and powerful things when we believe. Faith to believe that Jesus said, if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, and remember, a mustard seed is the tiniest of all seeds, plant-bearing seeds. He said, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can say to that mountain, be gone and be cast into the sea, and it will. Now, Jesus wasn't literally talking about moving a mountain. He was talking about those mountains spiritually in our life that we seem we can't get around. That's what we're going to look at today as we continue chapter 11. As we discover the power of faith, as we look at the story of Joshua, as we continue through this journey, and we come to Joshua and how, through the power of faith, it was able to have victory in the battle of Jericho. We all know this story. In fact, you may remember a couple years ago, I had spent a whole series in the book of Joshua, and we looked more in detail in this. But today, as we continue going through this chapter, we will discover that faith has the power to do two things in your life and mine as we live by faith every day. George Mueller made the statement that the longer I go into this service, the more I find that prayer and faith can overcome every difficulty. Because first, faith has the power and enables us, enables walls to fall. Walls in our life that can fall down at our feet through the power of faith. Chapter verse 30 says that by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. You all know the story. The story of Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. We heard that in Sunday school. We all sing about it. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. You know, we know the song. And we were taught that story when we were growing up in church. And we know in Sunday school, we know it well. But after 40 years of wandering through the wilderness in disobedience to God, because God had wanted to take the Israelites straight in after they had left Egypt, but because they failed to trust God when he had sent the spies, only Joshua and Caleb believed that God could give them the victory. And so they voted, we're not going to listen to God, we're not going to trust him. And so for 40 years, 1 year for every day they were spying out the land, they had to wander in the wilderness. You know the story. In the midst of that, now 40 years had passed, Moses had died. Joshua was chosen by God to lead the nation forward into the land of promise, the land of Canaan, the land of blessing, to receive the promise that God had given to Abraham all those years back that we had already looked at. And now the time of the promise had come, and they're ready to go across the river, but the first thing they would face as they were getting ready to claim their inheritance was the big city of Jericho. And the city of Jericho had these immense walls around it as a defense. And the people looked at that and they thought, how are we going to overcome this city with these great walls? It was the first challenge that they had before them. You and I, friends, have walls in our life too. Those things that stand between us and growing deeper in our relationship with Christ. Those things that stand between us and following the Lord more faithfully. Maybe they're walls, they're not physical, but maybe they're walls of doubt. Or you doubt that God will come through for us sometimes in the hardship we're facing. Or maybe they're walls of discouragement. How many of us sometimes battle the walls of discouragement? Have you ever had that one feel like they're closing in around you? Maybe the walls of loneliness. Maybe the walls of rejection. Or maybe the walls of bitterness. You know, when those walls of bitterness come up and they can separate us even from those that we love. Maybe the walls of unforgiveness. But those walls or fear that come between us and our and growing deeper in our life, and they're there. And how do we overcome them? It was by faith that we see that those walls fell through the power of God. How? We would go back to Joshua, we would find the story. That faith enables walls to fall when we acknowledge his holiness. In chapters 5, verses 13 to 15, I'm not going to read these, I'm going to refer to them, and you can read over it later on if you want to this week. But before Joshua was ready to take the nation into battle, it says that he was confronted and met by the Lord, the captain of the Lord's host. And the Lord met him one day, and Joshua said, "Are you for us or are you against us?" And he said, "Neither. As captain of the Lord's host, I have now come to you." And the Lord said to him, and Joshua knew he was in the presence of the Lord, he said, the Lord said, "Take off your shoes, because the place where you are standing is holy ground." Before the walls could fall, Joshua had to realize and acknowledge the holiness of God. He had to have that reverence for him and put the Lord in that place of honor and realizing that because he was in his presence today, wherever you and I are, God, the Holy God, is with us. And he is holy. And because he is holy, he wants that holiness from us and that reverence of honoring him. And before those walls can fall in our life, he needs to have the place of reverence and honor that he first deserves, acknowledging him for who he is. Israel was not going to be able to go forward. They were not going to be able to enter battle against Jericho if they first had not honored God first and foremost. And so it is with you and I. Whatever battle you're facing, whatever what doubt is there, whatever wall is erupted between your life, first step in it falling is to acknowledge God's lordship. Acknowledge his holiness of who he is. And realize that you are in holy ground in the presence of God. Those walls will also fall when we follow his plans. Because if you would read then in Joshua chapter 6 verses 1 to 5 in that encounter with the Lord, as the Lord met him and he said, "Take off your feet, your shoes, for you're in holy ground." The Lord then gave Joshua a battle plan. And it was a battle plan that didn't seem to make sense to Joshua. He said, "Here's what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to take the priests, 7 of the priests, put them in front of the Ark of the Covenant, give them shofars or trumpets, Deb, and have them sound the trumpets, carry the Ark of the Covenant, and march in silence around the city one time and go back to camp." Now, does that sound like a battle plan for victory? I mean, God, Joshua might have thought, "Lord, am I hearing you right? Did I get that? What kind of battle plan is this? This is off. This is strange. Why not even shoot? Not even, if it was up to us, we would have set up a battering ram, perhaps. We would have put some kind of assault on the city and come up with glorified plans, but that wasn't what God had in store. And in order for the wall to fall, the nation had to follow God's plan. Why? Because God knows what's best. And he was going to teach Israel by following that plan that his power was greater. Knowledge of God's word must be followed by obedience, no matter how much it goes against conventional wisdom. And this plan, battle plan, sure went against conventional wisdom. That's why the verse at the beginning, scripture said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path." Where do you find God's plan for you? Well, it's laid out right here. It's laid out for us here in his word. And by following and living according to his plan and directives, we will see those walls fall. But it's not enough to know that plan. We have to implement it. We got to follow it and obey it. There was an episode about Seinfeld. I never watched Seinfeld. I don't know if any of you ever did. But there was an episode of Seinfeld where Kramer comes into Jerry's apartment one day where Jerry and George were talking. And he said to them, "Do you guys want to have some fun?" George and Jerry both say, "Sure, I want to have some fun." So Kramer then says, "Do you really want to have some fun? Or are you just saying you want to have some fun?" And George says, "I really want to have some fun." And Jerry said, "I was just saying I want to have some fun." So the question is, do you trust God? Or are you just saying you trust God? Many times we say we trust God, but the rubber in the road is when we follow his plan, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it goes against our conventional thinking of what we think we should do, but we follow and trust his plan, because if we do, we'll see those walls fall in accordance with that. Now, there was a man who was tightroping across Niagara Falls. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. Kim and I have been to Niagara Falls, and they're quite impressive to see. And this man was tightroping across from one side to the other. And as he made his first attempt, a crowd began to gather. And it seemed like the draft from the falls was going to pull him down, but with some great struggle, he managed to get to the other side, and then he returned and came back. So the crowd began to gather, and so he said, "How many of you believe that I can walk this wheelbarrow across from one side of the river, one side here to the other, and back again?" And of course, the crowd shouted, "Yeah, we believe you can do that." So the man got the wheelbarrow, and he began to walk across the tightrope. He struggled, but he got to the other side, and he comes back across the river. And of course, the crowd cheered. They all went crazy. "Yeah, you did it." Then he said to them, "Okay, how many of you believe that I can put a man in this person in this wheelbarrow and take the wheelbarrow over and back?" And of course, the crowd goes, "Yeah, we believe you can do that. Yeah, let's see you do. We believe." And so he said to the man standing there, "Okay, sir, get in the wheelbarrow." And the man says, "Not me." You know, that's how it can be, you know, with our faith. We say, "Yeah, Lord, we trust you. We believe." But then when it comes to following his plan, we come doing what he said for us to do. He said, "Well, Lord, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to do that." If Israel wouldn't have followed the plan of God and put their faith into action by following the plan that God had given them, those walls wouldn't have fell. It was by faith they fell because they followed the plan of God in obedience. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. And I heard Pastor Sterling say that last week as well. But they go hand in hand. We can't have faith without obedience. And those walls will fall in our life when we rely on his strength and not ours. Part of the reason why God gave them the plan, and as we would see in Joshua chapter 6, verses 6 to 14, they began to implement that plan. And it says that they marched around the city one day, and then they went back to camp. Second day came, they marched around the city once again, and they went back. Third day, they marched around the city and went back in silence. They didn't say a word. They didn't fire a shot. They didn't do anything. They just trusted and relied on the strength of the Lord to win the battle for them. And it was by relying on him that those walls fall. Whatever those walls are in your life, whether it's bitterness, doubt, fear, discouragement, rejection, loneliness, rely on his strength to give us the victory, to enable those walls to crumble around us in faith. They will when we rely on him. Stephen Cole, in his commentary on Hebrews, on this particular verse, said that victory over powerful enemies comes when we do not trust in ourselves, but when we trust totally in the Lord. He goes on to say, often our problem is not that we are not too weak, but that we think that we are too strong in ourselves. Because we are so prone to pride, if God granted us victory, we would take some of the credit for ourselves. God's plan for victory humbles our pride, but accentuates his power and his weakness. God wanted Israel to learn that they had to rely on his strength for this battle. He wanted them to see that when the walls fell, it wasn't because of their effort. Because the walls fell, it was because of the power of God that enabled those walls to fall down, not their own strength. And it's when we are weak that then we see his strength displayed, right? And we will see those walls fall around us when we rely on his strength. We try to do it ourselves. We try to rely on our power. It's not going to work. The walls will fall when we trust in him. Vance Havner, a preacher from the past century, who I had a chance to hear several times, he told a story about an elderly lady who was greatly disturbed by her many troubles, all these walls that had surrounded her, and she felt closed in by. Some of them were both real, and some of them were imaginary. You know, sometimes we can have those walls in our life that are imaginary. They're not really real, but we make big deals out of something that may not be a major issue. But some of them are real, some of them are imaginary, and she felt closed in around them. Finally, someone in her family tactfully told her, said, "Grandma, we've done all we can do for you. You're just going to have to trust God for the rest." And a look of absolute despair came over her face as she replied, "Oh dear, it's come to that? Has it come to that?" she said. And that's what it comes to in our life, really, that we realize we got to trust God. We can do all that we can do, but eventually we got to leave it in his hands, right? And that's what Israel had to do. Follow his plan, trust in him, and let him believe that he would make those walls fall for them. And those walls will fall as well when we wait on his timing. As you continue the story, if we go back to Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 to 20, it says that God had them go around the city one day, go back, 2 days, go back, 3 days, go back, 4 days, go back, 5 days, go back, 6 days, go back. Now imagine you're Israel. You're going out every single day. You're marching around the city, and you're going back. You're not saying a word. You're thinking, or you may be thinking, this is stupid. Nothing's seeming to happen here. I mean, and it's believed, as I was studying this week, that one trip around the city would have taken anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour to complete, to take one trip around there. That's not bad in one day, but on the day they went around there 7 times, that would have taken anywhere from 3.5 to 7 hours to complete. And they're walking on the sixth day, they go back and nothing happens. On the seventh day, they go around the wall once. Then they go around the wall twice. Then they go around the wall again the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, now 13 times around. Nothing's happened. But on the seventh day, the seventh time, Joshua said, "Okay, now blow the horns and shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And they shouted, and those walls fell, but it was all in God's timing. And God will remove those walls in our life, but often he works in a different timetable, as you know. His plans are not ours. His timing is not ours. So trusting in him and believing. By faith, verse 30 says, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. In God's timing, in God's plan, by God's power alone. That's how those walls will fall. Faith enables walls to fall. What walls need to fall in your life this morning? God wants to take them, destroy, and have them fall at your feet today. He's able to do that, and he will, by the power of faith. And second, faith has the power because it enables lives to change. Faith enables lives to change. Not only does faith bring those walls crumbling at our feet, but faith changes your life and mine forever. That we're never ever the same again through the power and the working of faith within us. Praise God. Think back in your life before you knew Christ or even as you walk with him, and how faith is changing you and transforming you from within. No greater example and story of that than we get to verse 31. And that's by faith, the prostitute, Rahab. How was she known? How does the Bible define her? She is known as the prostitute, Rahab, and the Bible doesn't hide that. The Lord, the Scripture wants us to know this is the transforming power of faith. This is what faith can do, that faith can transform a person from being a prostitute, from a harlot, to a woman of faith, that she has put in the Hall of Fame. If you and I was picking somebody for the Hall of Fame, would we put a prostitute in there? But God was showing the story of the power of faith to change lives. And aren't you thankful what change, what grace can do? Because no one is beyond God's grace. No one. And that's what this story illustrates. By including the harlot faith, prostitute Rahab in the Hall of Fame, that no one is beyond the grace of God. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, as they were preparing for the battle, Joshua said, he sent spies into Jericho. He said, go into the city and spy out the city and bring me back a report. So the two spies went, the three spies went, and they landed up, and they ended up in the home of Rahab. God directed them to the home of Rahab so that Rahab would come to know the faith. And she went into Rahab's home, and they were welcomed there. Now, Rahab was an unlikely candidate for salvation. If you would think there was a person that would be saved, we would not think would be Rahab when the city of Jericho was going to fall. If anybody was going to be saved in that city, we surely wouldn't have thought it was her. She had three strikes against her. Number one, she was a woman. That's not bad in our day, but in those days, it was. Two, she was a prostitute. And three, she was a Canaanite or a Gentile. She had three strikes against her, which means she would not have been unlike a candidate for salvation at all. But God in his grace comes to her. And you know, and except for Sarah, the wife of Abraham, Rahab is the only woman, other woman mentioned in the Hall of Fame. Isn't that incredible? You think of the women of faith in the Old Testament that the Bible could have mentioned and put there? That the writer of Hebrews could have put in an example. He could have used Ruth. What a great example of faith she was. Or Naomi. He could have used Esther. What a woman of faith she was. And the great daring faith that she lived by. But they were not included there. It was Rahab. Because the Lord wanted us to see of the power of faith to change and transform life. That none of us here is ever beyond the reach of God's grace. No one can ever be missed out on God's grace. He is extended to all. And Paul said to himself, he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. He thought of himself as the worst of sinners because he said, I persecuted the church. And no one, sometimes we get the feeling that there's people out there that can't be saved. Anybody can be if they but receive God's grace, right? Aren't you thankful that none of us, that should guard against pride to make us think that we're special, we're not. Say, but the grace of God, so go I. Because none of us. And Rahab, not only was she put in the Hall of Fame, but she was placed in the bloodline of Jesus. That through her, Jesus came. She became the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth. And through whom became Obed, Jesse, David, and eventually Jesus. What a beautiful picture of the grace of God, that none of us is beyond it. His grace, which is greater than all of our sin. Faith also enables lives to change because faith responds to the message that it receives. If you would read again in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, when the spies came into Rahab's house. She said to them, she said, we heard some things about your God, And we heard about how God had brought you out of Egypt. And we heard about how God took you through the Red Sea. And we heard about what God did to the kings on the other side of the river. And we heard about the works of your God. And he said, many here in Jericho are fearing or afraid of what your God can do. But she says, I've heard and I believe that you're God, that God is God and the Lord of all. And through hearing the word, she put her faith in the Lord and her life was changed. Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Your life and my life will change when we hear the message God speaks to us and we hear it and receive it. That's why he told the Hebrews, said to them, today when you hear God speak to you, don't harden your heart, don't reject what he says, but when you read the word on your own and home, when you hear the word taught and preached, when he's speaking to you, receive what he has to say. Because when we take that action, transformation occurs within us and our life is changed. Don't reject his word, but humbly receive the word that is planted in you. And our lives change when we hear that and we receive the message that has been given to us. Lives change as well because faith is concerned about the spiritual well-being and salvation of your family. And that brings about change. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you would go back to Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, and again, chapter 6, verse 22 and 25, you can read these on your own later. You will find there that as this conversation was continuing, Rahab knew that God had given, was going to give victory to Israel. She knew that Jericho was going to fall. She knew that there was no way that they were going to be saved. So she said to them, please spare me when the city falls. Please spare me and my family and my mother and my father and my brothers. Please spare them and save them that they're not lost. And out of her love and out of her concern, she was concerned that her family would come to salvation, that their lives too would be saved. Faith that transforms us, you and I, leads us to the point of that we want to be concerned about our family members that still do not know Jesus. Should Jesus come now? Should they face death, time of destruction come in their life that they would be lost and not have an eternity with Christ? That should burden you, right? That should be something that should concern you. It did Rahab. She said, I'm concerned about my family members that they don't want them to be lost. Faith that transforms us brings us to that point. You would find in chapter 6, verse 22 to 25, as the story continued, the spy said, okay, but bring your family into the house, your house, hang this scarlet cord here, and bring them into your house. And when we see this cord and they're in your house of safety, we will spare them, but they have to be under the scarlet cord. Rahab took that message and her family believed, and they came, and they were brought in, they were saved as well. Of her influence, of her faith. And I encourage you today, faith has that concern for your family members, for the well-being and spiritual well-being of those who are outside of Christ. What are you doing? How are you concerned with the burden that you have for them to see that they too know Jesus? And faith takes bold and courageous action. We read at the end of the story that she welcomed them into her house. She knew they were from Israel. She covered them over. She spared their life. And she hid them from harm. And then she sent them away in safety so that they would not be killed. And she took that action to protect them and to save them. Just as we had seen how a couple weeks ago, Corrie Ten Boom did the same thing in the midst of World War II. Faith is active and moves us to action. We'd seen in the book of James that's what that faith moves us to do. Faith without action is useless, it's dead. And the faith in your life and mine moves us to bold and courageous action for him, to put our faith into work. As we are changed, as our lives are transformed by the work of faith within us. So the power of faith, by faith the walls of Jericho fell, and by faith the prostitute Rahab was saved and her life was transformed. And she became a part of the family of Israel, the people of God, and in the bloodline of Jesus. What a transformation, what a change that was. Through faith, walls will fall and lives will change. What walls need to fall in your life this morning? There's bitterness, discouragement, doubt, fear, loneliness, worry. Whatever those walls are, they can fall through faith as we rely on Him. And what needs to change in your life? What transformation and change is taking place within you and me through the power of faith at work within us? Through faith, we should be transformed and changed from glory into glory, that every day becoming more like Jesus. For that process of work and change and transformation is ongoing in our life through the process and work of faith within, hearing His word and responding to it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the power of faith at work within our life. That through faith, we can see those walls fall. Those walls of doubt, fear, rejection, loneliness, bitterness, unforgiveness, discouragement, our sins that beset us, defeat. We can see those walls fall when we rely on Your strength alone. When we live, follow Your plan and not ours. And when we just entrust in You. And Lord, we can see that happen in Your timing and Your way. And Father, help us to look to You, knowing, Lord, that when we face those walls, that we feel closed in by them, that through Your power alone, You can see that, we can see that happen. And Father, also that our lives would continue to change through the power of faith. Through faith at work within us, transforming us from what we were to what we will yet be. From what our old life to the new. That we thank You, Lord, that we're not beyond Your grace. That You reach down to us in our sin. And Your grace is greater than our sin. And You transform our lives and You save us. And You make us a new creation in Your name. And the old is gone. We thank You for that change and transformation that has occurred. And continuing to occur as we live by faith every day, hearing Your word and responding to it. Lord, may we have that same concern for our family members who are outside of the faith, who do not know You, that should You come, they would be outside of Your fold and would be left behind. And so, Father, we pray for them, and we pray that they would come to be a part of Your family too. So, Father, do Your work within us. We thank You for the men of faith and women of faith who have gone on before us, that we can learn from, that we can look to as examples. And, Lord, may those who come behind us find us faithful as we walk with You every day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.